You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Sandra Bland's death in a Texas jail earlier this month has captured national attention, with millions watching the video of the routine traffic stop that started the chain of events, resulting in her arrest on allegations of assaulting the officer.
That video has raised questions about police handling of the encounter and more generally about police procedure, citizen cooperation with police instructions, and how police enforce that kind of compliance.
Our next guest says police departments rely too much on force and coercion to ensure cooperation from citizens, and that leads to needless tragedies. He's calling for a series of reforms to policing here in the United States. Reverend David Cooper is the former Madison police chief. He's the author of the book Arrested Development. A veteran police chief sounds off about protest, racism, corruption, and the seven necessary steps to improve our nation's police. Reverend Cooper, thanks for joining us today.
Glad to be here. Talk about an important subject.
Well, in reaction to what happened in that Sandra Bland case, you tweeted unprofessional, disrespectful, abusive, and deadly, and later that decent police work could have prevented her death. What lessons should we be learning from what we've seen at that traffic stop?
Well, if there ever was a video that clearly would depict what a police officer in a democracy should not do, that was it. It is, as I said, it was outrageous. It seems that every few days we get another barrage and some mistakes on the part of police officers. I mean, if he wanted to irritate, get a rise out of Ms. Bland, get her to the point where she was verbally challenging him, pushing and everything. That's exactly how you do it. When you disrespect people like that, that is the outcome. And, you know, I would say that he knew that because one of the dark undersides of policing is to learn from your buddies in the first years of your job how to irritate somebody to the point where you can arrest them. If you don't like somebody, you can irritate them to the point where you've got something you can arrest them. And that's what, talk about a negative training video, that was it.
Now, when there are instances like this of things that people could look at and say, this is overly coercive behavior by an officer, one response sometimes is it's, you know, a bad officer or a few bad officers or maybe even a good officer on a bad day. You've written in the past that no, it comes from police departments, their leadership, their training. Why is that?
Well, first of all, you know, somebody has to be the adult. I mean, that's why we hire police, and that's why I so strongly argue for smart, well-trained officers who are controlled in their use of force, respectful, and who work for the community. Because if they are prepared for this, if they have some sense of intelligence and some background, is you know what's going on there. And a good officer checks him or herself. Sure, that doesn't mean that words and certain gestures from people would not irritate you, you know, make you maybe more defensive than that. But the point is, you know, who's the adult in this operation, in this stop? And that's what I think that we in a democracy have a right to expect, is that our police will be unconditionally respectful to us no matter what happens.
And you've written in the past that police departments in general are too focused on officers getting compliance from citizens coercively with the use of force if necessary. How does that play out in, you know, daily policing?
Well, in daily policing, first of all, you know, 90% of or more of police encounters throughout the country on a day in and day out basis do not involve, you know, any use of physical force. Most of the force that police use is verbal, saying, this is what I want you to do, and you've got to do it now. If you don't do this, you're going to go to jail or you're going to get a ticket. But all those options should be given in a calm and directive way. And also understanding when you're dealing with people who perhaps are mentally ill, when you're dealing with people that have got a very bad historical experience with police, such as people of color have in this country, you've got to be very, very professional. You've got to be very careful the words you use and how you're doing it. There was, you know, no reason for Ms. Bland to have to go to jail whatsoever. And it sounded like at the beginning of that encounter, he was just going to give her a warning. And he could have walked away from that. He had her license number. He could have walked away and just mailed her the ticket. He would not have had to get into a physical encounter with her.
We're talking to David Cooper, former police chief here in Madison, Wisconsin, talking about policing in the United States, in part after the Sandra Bland incident that's gotten so much attention, so many views of the traffic stop video. You could join in with your thoughts at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. One response, David, is that as citizens, don't we have a measure of obligation to cooperate with law enforcement officers, not put them in that position where they have to enforce cooperation to that level?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, that's the mark of good citizen and citizenship. And if we were always good, upstanding citizens, and we didn't drink, and we didn't take drugs, and we didn't have bad days, and we weren't depressed, and we didn't have episodes and bouts with mental illness, all that would be fine. But the fact is that most people do comply. But when people don't comply, the question is, how much force is a police officer going to use to get his or her will put on that person? And that's where de-escalation, that goes self-monitoring, where police officers say, uh-oh, I've had a bad day today. You know, my spouse yelled at me this morning. My kids aren't doing well in school. And now I got this. Just a second. Let's just sit down. Hey, Joe, Jane, could you come over here? I've got, I need a little help. And officers team all the time. I mean, there's no reason why there could not have been a disengagement here. There was no need for it to go that way. And we've seen that time and time again. We don't know exactly what happened in Ferguson, but I will venture to say that the conversation that the officer Wilson had with Mr. Brown was probably not respectful. Just speculating here, but I would say that's a major ingredient of probably perhaps why that incident went south.
Are there police departments around the country that do a lot of training in de-escalation that you're talking about?
Well, they sure are starting to do that right now, and just about, I think the 7 or 8 large police departments in this country that are under federal court order called consent decrees are specifically as part of those decrees to take a look at their use of deadly force policies, their training towards de-escalation, their training in handling the mentally ill. Those are important a part of those consent decrees, along with diversifying the department, increasing training in other areas, respecting life, making strong statements that this department respects the dignity and sanctity of life, and we will do everything possible to preserve life because we're in the life-saving business. Those kind of things come out of consent decrees. Now, whether or not the leadership in the department can sustain that and that the changes then can become institutionalized is quite another thing, and that takes time.
Let's go to our callers now. We've got Frank on the line in La Crosse. Frank, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. I feel that the chief is definitely on the right track. I wish we had more professional people like him in the business. My concern is twofold. Actually, both aspects relate to the same idea, which is I think that many of the people who are attracted to the profession of the police, in some cases or in many cases, have issues with dominance and submission, and that it's important to them that they, beyond just the legal or safety issues, that they must, that the people that they're interacting with must submit to them. I thought the chief pointed that out in the video, that the officer could have walked away and dealt with the situation adequately. Also, the training that officers receive to help them have the sort of self-esteem they need that they could deal with individuals without feeling either physically intimidated or the need to psychologically impose their will on people beyond the needs of the law.
Frank, thanks a lot for the call. David Cooper, let's start with that first point. The people who go into law enforcement, obviously they must have a personality willing to accept that they'll be in confrontational situations, that they may be at risk. Does that come along with, as our caller said, having a fixation of some sort on dominance?
Well, it could be, and I think that's why I always have been in favor of, and did Madison, we tended to hire older, more mature police officers and men and women who had a college degree, who had some experience in the workplace, so we had some idea about how they operated. But that's not to say that everybody who has issues is not to become a police officer, and that's why good supervision and part of that, good selection processes are very important to the field. And I think that the problem necessarily is not that with the kind of people that are going into police work, but the problem is the kind of culture post 9/11 that they have inherited as they became police officers during the last 15 or so years, that the culture has tended to be more militarized. The culture has been more towards what we have kind of seen that has caused the incidents and the crisis that we now find ourselves. I think that's a direct result of sort of slipping downhill, not paying much attention to our police during these years, letting them, you know, get more outfitted with military gear, sort of gearing up and using SWAT teams in situations where they never used them before. That those kind of things have all come together to sort of develop, as some people and the work that Bradley Balco has done, sort of a militarization and a police a warrior rather than a police guardian, a police officer who is our protector.
We're talking to former Madison Police Chief David Cooper about citizen cooperation with police officers and how police departments train their officers to interact with citizens, following in part the controversy over the arrest and death of Sandra Bland after a traffic stop in Texas.
You can join the conversation with your thoughts and questions at 800-642-1234. Do you think police are too quick to use coercion and force if citizens don't comply with their instructions, or do you think they need to do that to ensure safety? If you're in law enforcement, or if you've had an interaction with law enforcement lately, we'd like to hear about your experience. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We continue our conversation now with Reverend David Cooper, former police chief of Madison. He's an advocate for police reform. He says departments rely too much on coercion and force to get people to comply with their orders. He says policies need to change.
You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts on the Sandra Bland case that's gotten national attention since the traffic stop video came out. Your experience maybe as a law enforcement officer yourself. 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Back to our callers now with David in Fond du Lac. David, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. This really touches a nerve with me because I've been an interstate truck driver for over 40 years, and I remember what the officers used to be like 25, 30 years ago and how they are now. And the rules have changed dramatically in trucking, but these young officers that I encounter in weigh stations and vehicles, I get inspected quite a bit. I have probably more interaction with police across the country than anybody else. But I'll tell you something. There's something gone haywire in their training because they are cold to the bone. They'll write you up. Even if you fix a light on scene, they still write you up for that light. They're like robots. And if you even dare to question what their authority, they will come at you with guns blazing, literally, and threaten you with more fines if you don't shut up. There's something that is drastically gone wrong in police training these days, and the younger officers are worse.
David, thanks for the call. David Cooper, do you see that even in something as routine as truck inspections? Does it go that far?
Well, that's a really interesting view from a person who's had a lot of contact with police across the country. I think that that might be a fair assessment, that policing has changed today, even though crime is going down and our murder rate has been the lowest it's been in 40 years, even though the numbers of police killed in the line of duty has remained relatively the same over the years, except for two major spikes in the 1930s during Prohibition and in the 1990s when I was chief during the war on drugs. So if we look at those data, you would say, well, why are the police so uptight in many cases? What is going on? What is going on with them, the training. And I think the training has got to be a major area of concern right now. How are officers being trained? Often I hear chiefs say, well, our officers are being trained according to the state standards, which to me would be beg the question, well, where do the state standards come from? And what is your threshold in using deadly force? And a lot of police want to use Graham v. Conner, a Supreme Court decision in the 1980s, which said that police officers could essentially, you need to look into the mind of a police officer if he or she felt that they were in danger, that they could then reasonably, objectively use deadly force. And I think that's too low a standard. And I think we can do things to raise the standard. We're in a crisis now, and it's almost a year since Ferguson. We're going to be very close to that year point, and we really haven't heard our nation's police leaders stand up and say, "Whoa, okay, we're going to look at this use of deadly force. We're concerned too because we're seeing, you know, a lot of people being shot by police that seems to be rising slightly in the last couple of years here. Let's take a look at what's going on, and we are going to review our deadly force. We want you to know, our citizens, that we will do everything we can do to overcome our unconscious bias that many of us have living in this country towards race. We're going to control our use of force. We're going to make a commitment to the sanctity of life." And that is something that has not been part of a national conversation yet, and I think it's absolutely essential.
Talking to David Cooper, former Madison police chief, about policing the United States and his calls for reform. Back to our callers. We've got Arnold on the line in Cobb. Arnold, hi.
Yes. I was a state trooper from 66 to 1978 and left that position to become sheriff. While I was still a trooper, I remember a district attorney had me summoned and brought to his office and asked me how many times that I had stopped a car for a taillight out and then subsequently arrested the individual for disorderly conduct or resisting arrest. And I said, absolutely none. There is no reason for that situation. You will get out of the car. You've made up your mind what you're going to do. That's it. You write your whatever, and you leave. That's all the way it should be.
All right, Arnold, thanks a lot for the call. So that mentality, David Cooper, has changed, you think?
Well, I think Arnold's spot on right there. It's not the way that the police have been trained in the past. There's been sort of a new shifting here right now, and I think it's a reasonable question for citizens to say, well, wait a second, we don't like this shift. We want the shift to go back the other way. And I think that's a valid question that citizens can ask of their police. We just had a national commission, a national task force on police reform, the President's 21st Century Task Force on Policing. There's some 40 recommendations. I have advocated that citizens download that off the internet and take it to their local police department and say, how is our department doing here? How are we meeting these recommendations? And where the department has met those, to say, great, we're really proud of you. Where are the areas that you need some help? Where aren't you meeting these standards, and how can we help? Because it is a collaboration. We're in a democracy, and we work together in having an effective and decent police force who will be out there upholding our constitutional rights and protecting, you know, the great values that have made this country what it is today.
Briefly, as we wrap up, that sounds like a conversation starting. Do you see that turning into the kind of reforms you're looking for anytime soon?
Well, I'm hoping. I've got, through my blog, improvingpolice.wordpress.com, I have a lot of contact around the country. Most of them are people like Arnold. They're retired officers, and they've said, wait a second, no, how can I help? I think we need to bring this thing back. I think we need to improve police in ways that perhaps we had thought the field was going before we got retired. And there are some, there are a few operating police out there and some leaders who are saying, you know, I'm doing everything I can to move these forward and to improve my department, which I think is a continuous process of improvement.
David Cooper, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Reverend David Cooper, former Madison police chief and author of the book Arrested Development. A veteran police chief sounds off about protest, racism, corruption, and the seven necessary steps to improve our nation's police.